From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the first day of February 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll hear about the next 150-year strategic plan for the University of Illinois, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast. We'll do that with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
So let's start with the soybeans because they were higher. I suppose that was probably on trade negotiations and some things that had come out of Washington, D.C. and China both. Then it dropped back. Where do you see the market going and what happened in the last 24 hours?
I think it went to a top of a trading range, you know, that it has been locked into for going on, you know, 2 or 3 months now. And that 930, 935 level seems to be very strong resistance in the front end, 970 in the November. I guess what I think happened probably is that we did dial in the idea that President Trump and President Xi were going to sit down together. President Trump's also going to talk to North Korea. And the idea is that because both these leaders are getting together, there must be A, something to talk about favorably, and B, they probably don't want to walk away without some kind of a deal. That's, I think, all the market could get in terms of price reaction, given what kind of information we have after that, Todd. So then later in the day, as you said, we got news about the Chinese export demand. The market had been expecting, as of Thursday, 5 million tons of some kind of a report. Started to get that in the middle of the day. So that wasn't really any new news. Then we also got the Brazilian export figures for the month of January. I think that probably turned some heads to maybe a little bit more of a negative bias, because while the exports for Brazil in January for soybeans were up about 40% from January of last year, they were off about 50% from December. And I think that probably got the market wondering why they were down that much. So I just don't think we have the hard, fast mindset in Chicago, because we don't have any hard, fast, concrete agreements to trade off of. And that was something that while I was traveling doing marketing meetings in Indiana and Ohio this week, it was very, very apparent by the colleagues in Chicago that they're worn out, they're frustrated, they are sick of hearing about the trade negotiations, and they always throw out African swine fever as a mitigating circumstance as far as why we won't ever get back to the demand levels that we had last marketing year. So South American crop can be chopped by companies like FC Stone, companies like me. We could maybe even lose 8 million tons and be no better than 2016, 2017 when it comes to Brazilian production. But does that really pull the stocks to use ratios down? Maybe. But we have to get that U.S.-China trade deal first, I think, is what everybody's thinking.
I think I saw you mentioned FC Stone. They were out with their estimate at, what, 112 on the soybean size in Brazil. That's lower than it has been. The other thing that the market, I believe, was trading for the day was in the wheat. You mentioned you've been traveling. I was traveling the last couple of days, too, across Indiana and Ohio for me, same two states. And it was really just brutally cold. Wheat, however, usually looks forward, but did it rally today based on the idea that it was so cold that there would be winter kill?
I think it rallied for two reasons. I started out in southern Illinois. We saw some family on Saturday, and we were just struck by the lack of snow cover. And so from going from sharply cold temperatures to sharply warm temperatures in 48 hours, I think that brought in some short covering. But I think the heart and soul of the rally was the outside market, the euro currency against the U.S. dollar, some of the currency plays that we've seen since the Federal Reserve talked. We're running at about a 9-month low in natural gas right now, even with this cold weather. So the funds aren't playing there, but we're about 6% off the lows from last week in crude oil and about 5% off the lows in copper off January lows. So I think what you're seeing in the wheat market is the currency reaction and some weather in terms of the extreme going from too cold to too warm. It is very interesting to me to see the wheat market find that 525 level again. And once again, like the beans and like the corn, back up towards the top end of trading range.
One side note, I was in Toledo, Ohio on Wednesday night when Southern Michigan, and you've probably seen this on the national news, had the natural gas explosion, and they sent out a text. Actually, it was just an emergency alert, and of course, your phones always know where you are. And I got that emergency alert, I think, around 9:30 Eastern time that night, saying, hey, turn down your thermostat in the house to 65. Just an arbitrary thing, but it's amazing what technology can actually do. Okay, back to the marketplace. One last item to take a look at, and that would be the livestock sector across the planet. Next week, when we see the grain stocks numbers, what do you think it will show? And I said planet, but maybe we better just look at it domestically, because we need to know really how many animal units there are and what they've been eating through.
You know, this is going to be a tough grain stocks report because you're right. The export market in the corn, the livestock market in the corn, probably at the best in 10 years. But then we also have the ethanol market with margins in the red and bleeding for the past several months. And yet fresh news again this week about the EPA trying to get something done for the E15. The RFA sending out a pretty strong worded letter, which I read last night, about the examples of how they were given in other exemptions given in amounting to probably several billion gallons of ethanol. I think the grain stocks report is going to have all that in there. I saw a lot of ground piles east of the Mississippi River, whereas west of the Mississippi, we're going to be very, very tight. So my sense is that we're not going to get a lot out of the grain stocks report because one is going to be good and one's going to be bad. It's going to X each other out. What I think the market will really look at is the final yields, final production for the United States, and see if WASDE also comes in with some actual real-time numbers for where South America sits. I think the trade was very disappointed with the weekly export sales being 3.5 weeks old when they released it yesterday. So they don't want to see anything like that when we get to next Friday.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk with you again next Friday and discuss that WASDE report and all the other reports that come out that day.
Should be fun. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Buy your tickets today for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's coming up on the first Tuesday of the month, March 5th, at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can buy your tickets online. The cost is just $30 at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, or by calling this number, 800-898-1065. Again, that's 800-898-1065. The All-Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analyst with us, along with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible and Murray Wise of Murray Wise Associates, willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Over the noon hour today, the Chancellor of the University of Illinois, Robert Jones, introduced the brand new strategic plan for the University of Illinois.
Again, welcome to the official public launch of the Next 150, the new five-year strategic plan for the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Jones says the 150 plan includes a commitment to four primary goals: fostering scholarship, discovery, and innovation, providing transformative learning experiences, stewarding current resources, and generating additional resources for strategic initiatives, and making a significant and visible societal impact. This is where the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences steps forward, says Prasanta Kalita.
In another 30, 40 years, when the world population will be 9.5 billion people, how do we sustain feeding them with the limited water that we have? But, you know, we have good news is University of Illinois is there in the world and here in the Midwest, and we have played a prominent role in food and water research over the last many decades. we translate discovery into real-world impact.
One of the ways that these discoveries are translated into real-world societal impacts is through University of Illinois Extension, and the new 150 expects U of I Extension to differentiate itself from other state extension networks by focusing on societal grand challenges, by creating a structure and culture that facilitates and values long-term partnerships with external stakeholders. It hopes to promote a faculty and institutional culture that prizes and rewards engaged research scholarship and teaching, to build a better network of cooperation among the many public engaged activities already occurring in the colleges and departments and research institutions and public good entities across the campus, and to establish a principled long-term partnership in the public sector for areas where the research stands to benefit the public good through collaborative policymaking or other applications. And finally, by fostering an environment where excellence in education and scholarship have a real impact. You can read more about the next 150 strategic plan online. Just visit the University of Illinois website. The address there is illinois.edu. Speaking of websites, do visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find a way to purchase your tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That's coming up on the 5th day of March 2019, the very first Tuesday in the month of March. We'll have a dozen of our analysts there to talk about the commodity markets. You can ask your questions. We'll delve into the weather and the value of land as well. That's at willag.org. This is the closing market report for Friday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agrible and traveling today, as he often does, and many of us do, for the winter meeting season. Thanks for catching up with us today, by the way. I think I want to start, Eric, with this real cold snap that we've had and maybe what it means to agriculture and the Midwest.
Yeah, well, I'll just say this. I'm glad it's over. We had some incredibly cold temperatures. I think the fun thing to think about here is that we may have set a new all-time record low temperature of all time, not just for a day, but for all time in north central Illinois at minus 38, I think is what it's going to be checked in at. It's going to take them a couple of weeks to get that verified, but Thursday morning. Now, that doesn't tell you anything about those wind chills, which were at times below minus 50. Well, thankfully, that's moved out. And I'll say this, when we think about what it did for ag, I mean, that was a hard freeze, right? I heard of a lot of people around central Illinois reporting that there was some, I don't know what you want to call them, but call them ice earthquakes. This is where we get called crisesium. This is where the soil freezes so much it cracks open and you can actually hear it. It booms sometimes. So I heard some reports of that in and around Springfield and Bloomington while I was there earlier this week. So that was some serious cold weather. And get ready, because by the time you know, Saturday gets here, Sunday and Monday, we're going to go up to our temperatures into the 50s. So we might see inside of a five-day time period, 70-plus degrees swing in temperatures. So welcome to Illinois in February. That's what we get, right?
Absolutely. So this swing usually brings with it some kind of weather that we don't like. I'm wondering what the rest of February will mean.
Yeah, we just got some great information from our long-range European model. And one of the things that it pointed to, which we've been talking about, is we're going to see this this development of a trough feature that'll be out west now. So rather than sitting over the Great Lakes, it's going to be out west. And if that trough feature sits over the mountains, what that means is the exit region of that trough sits over the Great Plains. Translation, we're going to see a lot of what we call Colorado low storm track, which means the storm system will be coming out of the Front Range of the Rockies, racing off to the northeast multiple times over the next several weeks. And our problem is with Colorado lows, we're always on the boundary. It's those systems that bring in the chance for some rain initially, then it changes over to freezing rain, sleet, and then snow. I think the first one's going to go far enough to our north next week that we're going to be rained out of that one. But after that, it's going to be that ugly February weather pattern. And we're going to be seeing, I think, much of the month of February at or below average on temperatures. So we're certainly not done with winter after this cold snap. But you know what? It was 17 degrees this morning when I left Champaign, and it honestly felt warm. So I think we've reached define what cold is.
I thought the same thing. I got out of the car yesterday in Indiana. I was coming back from Toledo, and it was 2 degrees outside. And I thought, you know, this isn't too bad. And I was like, son of a gun.
Yep.
Okay, warmer climes now in the southern hemisphere, Brazil, Argentina, and maybe you can touch on the wheat crop in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Brazil, you know, we've seen drier conditions now for about 45, 50 days. Some locations in Mato Grosso are about 8 inches in deficit in terms of precipitation. Mato Grosso do Sul about 4 inches, Parana about 4 inches. But they recently got some more rain. But the thing is that they put in that short duration bean in there, so they got it out quick. Safrinha crop is going in very fast. I think I saw the fastest pace in a long time. And with a little bit of rain they got, that's at least favorable for that Safrinha crop. But still, I think we're going to see overall some disappointing numbers coming out of Brazil, and while Argentina's been getting slammed with rain. Now, in Australia, they've had this incredible heat wave, but they just had a tropical system that moved into Queensland. So that's kind of the northeast side of the continent, bringing with it a lot of flooding problems. But the southeast part and the southwest part of the state where they do a lot of that farming, wheat right now, cotton, other crops like that, still dry and hot. So it's been volatile around the world, and it's been fun to watch. But my goodness, I'll leave all that cold weather here in Illinois to just those last week and a half, and we'll just get rid of that for the rest of winter.
Be all right. Hey, you travel safe, okay? Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.